Satan is your enemy, and he has all sorts of ways to attack you. One of those ways is to try to rob you of your joy. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
A lot of times the enemy comes in and he wants to rob you, steal your praise. He wants to steal your voice. He wants to steal the joy of the Lord in your life. And what happens is we start to kind of pull things in and it's about me and I can't, you know, really give. I can't really pay my tithes. I can't really do these things for the Lord or I don't have time for that person or time to do this and that. I got to think about me and all that. We need to be careful about that spirit. Because the enemy is just trying to get us walking in fear and unbelief. Because I'm here to tell you, I know you may be going through a difficult time, and God even has a plan even in that. But I'm here to tell you that God is a God that is not broke, that the economy of the kingdom of heaven is intact.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place.
Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs welcomes you to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman and our continuing series through one of the greatest books in the Bible, Paul's Letter to the Romans. Bible scholars consistently rank Romans in the top three or four most significant books in the Bible, and one of the reasons is its practicality. These words were written two millennia ago, yet are spot on for Christian living in 2019. As we again look at the ways our faith can minister to others, Pastor Al will talk about benevolence, being kind and generous to others. What a great witness that is. Here's Pastor Al Pittman in Romans 15, verses 25 through 29.
If we truly encounter God's grace, His mercy, we're going to be fruitful believers. We're going to be believers who are operating in benevolence toward one another. As one commentator said, he said, the gift Paul is delivering here is fruit, not loot. Amen? This is not, extortion money. I mentioned this last service, but, you know, I grew up in churches where, sometimes the pastor wouldn't let you go home until you got enough money in the offering. Amen? Service been going on for 2-3 hours, and they start taking the offering, and, you know, everybody's all happy and shouting and stuff, and a few brothers go back to count the money, and if they're a little short, amen? Because they had payments, you know, bills to pay. They come back out and say, now, we didn't get enough, so we need to pass around to give, and y'all need to give, and ain't nobody leaving, you know, until you give. This is not that kind of giving, amen? Amen? See my Anglo brothers are looking at me like, what's he talking about? But, hey, my African-American brothers, can I get an amen? Somebody's going, amen. We've been in them kind of churches where you have to sit there for 2, 3, 4, 5 offerings until they got all the money they wanted to get. And then people, man, everybody's looking around. Mama looking through a purse and everything. I think I got a dollar wrapped up in there somewhere trying to get that offering there so we can get out of here and go home. Amen. We're hungry. Amen. This is not how Paul extracted the funds from the Gentile believers. They gave willingly. Or in verse 26, for it pleased those to give. Verse 27, it pleased them indeed. God loves a cheerful giver. We give willingly out of the overflow of His great goodness and benevolence toward us. We give. You know, one of the true signs of revival is benevolence in the church. It's the fruit of revival. People want revival. We need revival. We need revival. But just as stingy as they can be, revival. I remember when I was in Bible college, you know, that last senior year, you know, you had to come up with a whole year outline of sermons for each Sunday and in those special occasions like, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and, you know, Easter and you know, Missionary Sunday and all this kind of stuff. And then you had to sprinkle in about, maybe 3 or 4 revivals throughout the year. And it always struck me funny because, you know, I've seen, you know, I've been in churches and, you know, I don't knock it, but well, I do knock it, I guess. It's kind of, because it's weird to me. It's like, okay, we're going to have revival, you know, September 15th, all week long. And they start Sunday night, they bring in an evangelist, he comes in. And he starts preaching these messages and call it revival. And the church people come out. And every night we're coming out and people praying. And folks coming to the altar crying and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and all that. But the week before, they were killing each other. But revival, revival's on the 15th. You know, I act like the devil all week long, but revival's on the 15th. And now I'm revived. I'm like, how do you schedule in the Holy Ghost? How do you put the Lord on the schedule and say, Lord, we'll see you? I'm going to knock this brother out here, but we'll see you on the 15th. That's when I'll be revived. You see how silly it is? It is very silly. But the people who do it, and we get caught up in our traditions and stuff, and we have our emotional time, and we cry and come to the altar and stuff, and after that, evangelist gets on the bus or plane or jumps in his car and takes off, we're back to the same old ugly church we were before he came. True revival means that our lives are transformed. It means brokenness before God. And true revival means being benevolent to one another. Where you see true revival, benevolence will be overflowing. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31, during the reign of Hezekiah, under his reign, the people repented and were broken, and the people overflowed before God. They overflowed with benevolence, and they gave so much to the temple, and they gave lavishly. Benevolence overflowed. You showed me a church where people are truly in touch with the benevolence, the goodness of God in their own lives and the grace of God. I'll show you people overflowing with the goodness of God and the needs of people being met throughout the congregation because of God's goodness. Benevolence overflows because of revival. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, Paul describes how the Gentiles gave out of the abundance of God's overflowing grace despite their great trial of affliction. I think it's a great lesson there for us. These Gentiles from Greece, they gave, despite their great trial of affliction, to the church in Jerusalem. And there's a lesson there for us is that in this current economic time, where things are hard all over. People are struggling. A lot of times the enemy comes in and he wants to rob you, steal your praise. He wants to steal your voice. He wants to steal the joy of the Lord in your life. And what happens is we start to kind of pull things in, and it's about me, and I can't, you know, really give. I can't really pay my tithes. I can't really do these things for the Lord, or I don't have time for that person or time to do this and that. I got to think about me and all that. We need to be careful about that spirit, because the enemy is just trying to get us walking in fear and unbelief. Because I'm here to tell you, I know you may be going through a difficult time, and God even has a plan even in that, but I'm here to tell you that God is a God that is not broke, that the economy of the kingdom of heaven is intact. Now, some people say, well, the economy of the kingdom of heaven is intact. When am I going to get paid? God is more concerned about you being rich in faith than you being rich in dollars. And God is doing a work in you that you may not understand, but he's trying to get you to be rich in faith. I think about the Haggai chapter 1, where they had returned from the 70 years of captivity, and he started building a temple of God. And then the people started getting concerned about their own needs and themselves. And Haggai the prophet rebuked him and said, how dare you neglect the house of God and go and take care of your live in paneled houses and clean, have nice manicured lawns and all these things when the things of God are being neglected. And God said, I'm going to put holes in your pocket so when you put your money in your 401k, it just comes out the other side. Amen. He got their attention. And when they repented, they came back to God. God began to bless them. You see, if we're going to be fruitful in our relationship with the Lord, then we need to honor the Lord. If we're truly revived, then we're going to respond to the graciousness and the goodness of God. We're not going to become self-absorbed. Jesus observed those people who were giving in the temple. And you remember the story, the little old lady came by and threw in next to nothing, an amount of money. And Mark chapter 12 records the occasion in verses 43 and 44. Jesus said this, he said, So he called the disciples to himself as he watched people putting money in the offering in the temple. And he said, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who had given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. You could probably say also she gave all she had, her whole life. Benevolence If we're going to have the fruit of benevolence in our lives, we have to give with our whole life. Benevolence is not the amount that you put in an offering. It is our willingness to give our whole life to the glory of God. She said, that woman, somewhere in her mind, that day she could have stayed home from church. That day she could have felt sorry for herself. That day she could have said, I'm just too poor to go to church. I don't have nothing to wear or whatever. But she showed up because she said, I'm not going to let the economic situation or my affliction rob my God from the praise that he is worthy of. And I'm going to show up and I'm going to bring my offering. Amen. And because of that, I believe God blessed her life. The Bible doesn't record what happened to this woman, but I believe she was blessed. Anytime Jesus notices it, you're blessed. God wants us to be fruitful, to bear fruit, but we have to give with that right attitude, an attitude of revival, an attitude that is awakened, a heart that is awakened to the presence of God. And here's the third characteristic I want you to see here within that defined benevolence within the church, and that is witness. Now you say, well, there's nothing here that talks about witness. Well, but if you understand kind of the background of what's going on here, you know this is a tremendous witness that the Gentiles, the Greeks, would take this offering for the poor in Jerusalem. And I was holding back from saying who the poor were because most of the people in the church in Jerusalem were Jews. Gentiles giving money to the Jews? Come on. It's no big deal to us. Oh, but it was back then.
We'll pause here for a moment, but Pastor Al will be right back with part two of today's message in Romans 15. This is The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. It brings us great joy when we hear from our listeners, so email us today at cwccs.org. We have some exciting news to share. We have officially launched our new podcast called Uncuffed. This podcast's purpose is to encourage you and to have conversations about issues inside and outside of the church in a more relaxed and uncuffed manner. You can find our Uncuffed podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. So make sure you subscribe to the Uncuffed podcast today. And I'm delighted to say The Dwelling Place is on oneplace.com. You can hear these daily programs via the oneplace.com app on your mobile devices. Or go to oneplace.com on your computer and listen when it's most convenient. As we have seen, Paul the Apostle was uncompromising in his approach to spreading the gospel. He really didn't care who he offended. He is a great example for us to follow. Here's Pastor Al with part two of today's message in Romans chapter 15.
In Acts chapter, I think 21 or 22, Paul is in the temple worshiping, and some Jews come down from Asia who heard about Paul stirring up trouble up there, and they saw Paul in the temple, recognize him, and they began to say, this is the guy that's basically speaking against Moses and all, and a riot broke out, and they wanted to beat Paul to death. Roman soldiers came in and protected Paul, and Paul asked him, let me speak to him just a moment, you know. So he began to speak to his Jewish brethren in Hebrew, and they were listening intently, the Bible says. And then all of a sudden, he began to mention that God was taking the word to the Gentiles. And the place erupted in violence. They wanted to kill Paul. There was such animosity and hostility and prejudice toward the Gentiles on behalf of many of the conservative Jews and vice versa. The tension, the wall built between them could not be penetrated. But the Bible says Jesus Christ through him, that middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile has been torn down. And here we see the Gentile believers going against the political correctness of their day and blessing their Jewish brethren. This was a tremendous witness to the world, I believe. The blood of Christ is what unifies us. The blood of Christ is what has set us free, the grace of God. Let me put it this way. The centrality of Jesus is what binds us together as believers. The death of one man, Christ, has united us in life. In the church, would you agree to that? That's the commonality that we have here within the church. That's what brings us together, black and white and Asian and whatever our ethnicity, together in Calvary Worship Center so that we can be one in Jesus Christ and it becomes a witness to the world. We should never demonize people. Jesus came to save the world. Don't demonize people, you know, because we need to reach those people with the gospel. of Jesus Christ. You know, what really matters at the end is love. You know, all the things that people have done wrong, people wronged you or whatever, what matters is love, you know? And I know there's a lot of other stuff that we could say about that, but, you know, those things are really important. About 2 weeks ago, I had someone come, and it's after second service. He said he was a refugee from another church here in town, and I mentioned the fact that, yeah, I know the pastor there. He's a friend of mine. So that ended that conversation. And then he went on to say what he wanted to kind of began to give you a long story short. He began to question me and about who I voted for. And God, I'd heard, I do this anyway as a practice, but I really felt the Lord say, don't you dare tell him. Because his whole idea was that, you know, based on who I voted for, had to do with how whether or not he could go to this church. And he said some other things that I don't need to mention, but, you know, the bottom line is what I told him. I said, you know, the thing that unites us here, sir, is Jesus Christ. It's a commonality of Jesus. It's nothing else but Jesus Christ. I said, if you want something else, if these other things are more important to you, they're not important to us, and I think you'd probably need to keep looking for another church. You might be sitting out here today, I don't know. But you know what? You're welcome. But it's the commonality of Jesus Christ that unites us. And if we ever get away from that, I pray God will shut this place down. If that is not what's binding you together, if you're not coming here because you love the Word of God and it's about Jesus Christ, if you're coming here because, well, you know, it's, you know, I need to go someplace else because, you know, the music or this and that. It's about Christ. We can't please everybody and won't even try to please everybody. Thank you very much. We are who we are. This is a work of God. You know, but the reality is that all I have to offer you is Jesus. All I have to offer you is the Word of God. If there's something else, you want me to talk on a certain issue and that's the reason why you come here, or you want me to vote a certain way and that's the reason why you come here, then I please and respectfully ask you to leave and don't come back. Because we're here about Jesus. We're not here about somebody's political persuasion. And if it's not about Christ, I don't want to be a part of it. Oh, I don't care how many more people come. I don't care how many leave. It's about my God. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about his word. And if we don't have that commonality and the centrality of Jesus, then God have mercy on us. We've lost our way. So I hope they find a place that they can go. But then I kind of hope they don't. I hope they come back to what Jesus said. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know, by this, not your political affiliation, not your color of your skin, not your sound of music, not your anything or worship songs or anything. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Period. End of story. If all we ever do is talk about forgiving and helping and serving and sacrificing, but we resist every opportunity to really let God use us so that we can be a witness to the world and give forgiving and loving and sacrificing and all of that. If we don't do that openly, and I forgive people who've wronged me, I have to, because of what God has done for me. But we do that not because, you know, we're trying to get attaboys or whatever. We do it because we want to be a witness, because the witness of to the world that we are of him is that we love each other. We love each other. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Benevolence. What is it? Well, it is fruitfulness or partnership. It is fruitfulness. It is the witness of the church. And God wants all of us to walk in that benevolence. And the reason we walk in that benevolence is because God has been so good to us. Not because we're the best church in town or anything, but because God has been good to us. And his goodness overflows in our lives, and it touches an entire community, an entire world, the love of God. These Gentile believers were being benevolent because of the grace that God had lavished upon them, that those who were once lepers, those who were once lost in sin, those who were lost without any meaning in life, all of a sudden realized that Jesus came and died for them. They were not worthy. They had not earned it. And yet God lavished upon him all righteousness and all joy and all peace and all hope and all happiness. He gave it to them freely without them having to earn it or deserve it. And out of a response of gratitude to God, they said, our brothers are hurting in Jerusalem. Man, let's take an offering. Let's bless them. Because God has been so good to us. Benevolence has to flow out of grace, or it's not benevolence at all. It must flow out of our response. We love each other. We're patient with one another. We forgive one another. We sacrifice. We help one another because of what Jesus has done for us, not because Pastor Al made me feel bad and I went up and signed up on the sheet. Now I hope he shuts up. I'll be there. You know, that's not it. But out of the goodness of God, how can I but be benevolent to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? And then that benevolence becomes a witness to the world. And they go, wow, my, how they love one another. They walk into the hospital room and find there's an army of people in there. Where do these people come from? You know, most people would be happy to have one or two friends show up. But a lot of people have no friends at all. Walk into a hospital room and there's 8 or 9, 10, 12, 20 people in there going, man, we miss you. We love you. What a witness that is to the world. Let us be benevolent to one another. Let us operate in the ministry of faith. Let us be about our Father's business. We can't be benevolent unless we're broken. It's kind of interesting. Somebody pointed out to me, said, Pastor Al, with your arm, said, you know, you did it the right way because, you know, you fell on the rock instead of the rock falling on you. The Bible says, fall on the rock and be broken, lest the rock falls on you and you be crushed, the rock being Jesus. I fell on that rock and it messed my arm up and I was like, Lord, I don't need this right now. Come on, I got stuff to do, you know. But then the other day I began to pray and I said, Lord, thank you for the gift of busting up my elbow. Because you know what? It slowed me down. You know, I can't get out and hop in the car like I used to, even though I drove in this morning. But, you know, I can't. You got to slow down. And since I've been slowing down, because just because you're on vacation, I mean you slow down. Amen. But since I've slowed down, just God just speaking to me. Got to watch some great Bible teachers on television. Started reading a book that I've always wanted to read for some time. And just slowing down, listening to the voice of God. And what happens when we slow down through brokenness? God pours his grace into us. Sometimes you got to be still before God's trying to pour something in you, and we're like, won't be still enough. Then let me break his elbow. Okay. Now let me pour this in you. That's his benevolence, his goodness, his grace. And then it just overflows, and you have grace and benevolence toward others. God wants to bless you. He wants to pour his goodness in you so you can be a witness as a church to the world, and so that you can be a witness outside of this building to others through his great benevolence and great love for you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. If you'd like to hear today's message again, you can get an audio CD by calling us at 844-221-3363 or listen online to an archive of Pastor Al's messages at cwccs.org. And you can listen to Pastor Al and The Dwelling Place on all Alexa-enabled and Google Home devices. Simply search for oneplace.com in the skills section of the Alexa app on your phone and hit the enable button. Now you say, Alexa, ask OnePlace to play The Dwelling Place. Or on Google Home devices, say, hey Google, ask OnePlace to play The Dwelling Place. We have some exciting news to share. We have officially launched our new podcast called Uncuffed. You can find our Uncuffed podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. So make sure you subscribe to the Uncuffed podcast today. The Dwelling Place is made possible through the generous support of our listeners. If you'd like to make a donation, we invite you to visit us online at cwccs.org. There's a place to make a secure donation right there. Or text GIVE to 719-354-2778. That's GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also write us at 505 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. Thank you for your prayers and thoughtful consideration as we continue to get out the word on this station and others like it. And one more quick reminder, if you're in the Colorado Springs area or will be visiting soon, we hope you'll drop by for a visit to Calvary Worship Center. Join us at our West Side campus or our Creekside campus. You can find service times and directions for both on our website. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is brought to you by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. May the Lord richly bless you.